Hey, it's Chuck Armstrong with Loudwire Nights, and this is Loudwire Nights On Demand. I don't really need to say much more other than we hung out with Frank Bello talking about new music from Anthrax. Yeah, that's it, man. This interview aired on Friday, May 15th. Let's do it.
We are hanging out here in New York City in the offices of the legendary Megaforce Records, and right now, man, we are joined by the one and only Frank Bello of Anthrax. Frank, it's good to have you on the show, man.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, man, beautiful day here in New York, or very rare. We're out of the winter. It's going to be 70 degrees. I say that because I'm drooling right now. But, you know, I'm just very excited to be just out and not outside and just not in 40-degree and 30-degree weather, so I'm psyched.
I love it, man.
You know, thanks for bringing me here.
Dude, yeah, of course, man. And we got a lot, you know, there's a lot of good reasons to bring you here. Of course, the release of this new song, It's For The Kids, from Anthrax. How's it feel to have the song ready for the world to hear?
You know, when you've been in your house, it's been a fucking long winter forever, you know, and you can't wait to get out. That's exactly what it feels like. You just want to fucking strip off your clothes and fucking go. You know, that whole thing is like, we've had this in the can, and you know, when you have that feather in your cap and you're feeling really good because you busted your ass to these songs. We really worked the hell out of them. All this stuff we usually say with every record, but the bottom line is, this is the album we need. I can't be more happy. Look, we started to tease these songs live.
Yeah,
a couple of them. Just a couple of music parts. Maybe Joey sang a couple of lyrics. But my God, it felt so open and just bursting out. It's like, you can't wait. And I can't wait. As a fan, I'm saying this as a fan because I've been listening to this record a lot. I can't wait at the fan experience. That's what I can't wait, to put it on and say, because so many people like the last two records we've done. This is the next stage. This is the next compliment to that. And I really feel that. Not only as a writer, but as a fan who hasn't listened to the record in a while, I'm like, wow, I'm just really psyched to have my fellow fans listen to this.
Which, like, you doing this for, you know, 40 plus years, that's a great feeling.
That's weird because I'm only 29. That's
weird. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's so crazy. No, weird. Yeah. You know, and you know, I'm happy to have this drive. I think the whole band is, this is what we do, man. This is what Rob Sabi told us we're lifers. I mean, I agree with that. We're lifers. We love what we do. We're very fortunate to do what we do. And we have this fan base that I can't believe is still growing. I mean, we just did a tour with Megadeth in Canada. Okay, we just came back from Japan and Australia. You see young people as well as the people that have been with us forever, all in our crowds now, man. It's really, really humbling. And number two, it gives you that kick in your step.
Yeah.
Like you're ready. Oh, fucking wait till you hear what we got coming, man. I mean, I go, just fucking go. Am I cursing too much? I'm sorry.
No,
but good. I'm just psyched about this because it's been a while. I know it's been 10 years and we thank everybody for waiting patiently. And look, I was pissed too. I don't want COVID to happen. I don't want all these other things to happen in our lives, but we do have the record that we are really psyched about.
I love it, man. Well, I got to ask you, with this new song, It's For The Kids, I had connected with it. I love it. And from the music, I mean, the rhythm and everything to the lyrics and this idea of, you know, your words are worthless, just like thoughts and prayers. Now that is a charged phrase.
Totally. You can go with it. Be real. Look, I could bite my tongue for a second here and really fucking look, put on your TV, see what the fucking world is doing right now. And I'm not going to get political here. I don't do that. But my thing is, I do have a family and I'm tired of the people in charge. I don't care who you follow. I don't care what team you're on. I'm on no team. I'm on the human team. Thoughts and prayers for me when I hear that line, I'm tired of hearing it on the news from politicians. I'm tired of it. You know, we all heard it and you can get as political as you want. I'd rather not, but I do have a family and I care about, but do something about the thoughts and prayers, man. That ain't going to cut it for me.
Yeah.
And Scott wrote the lyrics. Scott writes the lyrics in this band and he's done it forever. And I love what he's done, you know, and I agree with him on this, you know, and I don't know what his take is, but that's what I got out of it. That's what I feel about it. The song was fucking uber heavy. I love playing this fucking song because it's just a jam. You know, the guitars are riding over the bass parts and it's just really refreshing to me. And Joey's, I have to say this on radio right now because I finished, I was listening to the record on the train again. And Belladonna, Belladonna has killed it again. Belladonna in vocals, it inspires me that a guy that cares that much to really put in the work and fucking take care of his voice and really compliment the songs the way he wrote them. I'm really psyched about that. And I have to say, John Donay, for all you guitar players out there, listen to the leads. I think he's stepped above and beyond on this. So I know I'm hyping this, and I pray everybody loves this, but I'm just a fan. I'm a fan talking that, and if he's just come back from listening to the record, I just got off the train listening to it again. Like, man, I'm charged.
Yeah.
That's what I want people to feel.
Well, and you're excited. And yeah. Right now we've got one taste, right? It's for the kids.
That's nothing.
And you can't, so you can't, one song can't represent an entire album. But is this a good taste?
Absolutely. It's a good taste of where we're going. But you know us and the way we are, we don't give a fuck. We go to left field, we go to right field on purpose. What I can tell you that about the other stuff, there's some reviewers who've heard this record so far have said that some of the best writing we've ever done. And that's the ultimate compliment. And I'll let you guys judge. I'm very psyched just because I think Anthrax, we've waited. And our fans have waited, and I think this is the payoff. And it's just refreshing that I'm actually going to go on tour and play a new song. Stan, I'm with you guys. I almost stand. Believe me, I want to see your new set list and stuff too. But you got to do the favorites, and you got to mix it in somehow.
Yeah.
And there's a big catalog. So, but I can't wait to really put these in and put some of these songs in soon, at least one or two, and get going, man. It's going to be fun.
I love it, man. Well, all right. This is a big question. Yeah. So the record, you know, yeah, like you said, first Anthrax album in a decade.
Yeah.
Since 2016's For All Kings. And the title, Cursum Perficio, you know, basically gets at the idea of finishing a race or completing a journey.
Well, let me watch your face on this, Chuck, as you say that. I'm just interested in what you think. That's because I'm not going to answer this question because I want you to think. Well, what could that mean to you, Chuck?
Yeah.
It could mean something different to me than my friend Chuck. That's what I have to say. So I'm being a little facetious here, but the truth of the matter is we don't know.
Right on.
We don't know. It could be, maybe not. There's no answer that could, I don't have an answer for that question. What I do know is that we're having a fucking blast right now.
Yeah.
But,
so let me then.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let me continue. But, if it was.
Yeah.
If this completed the journey. It seems like you'd feel pretty good.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. Straight up. Just, again, coming from the train. I'll tell you right now, I'm fucking confident and I'm feeling really good. If this is, talk about leave it all on the table.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's what Anthrax, and I'm not patting our fucking backs or whatever. The truth of the matter is we care. We're fucking fans. It has to pass us to get to you. You know what I mean? Because we care. And it's been a long time and we took a long time writing this record for a reason. And we wanted to make it right. So yeah, if I can honestly say, if we walked out that door and say thank you, I'm happy. But I don't know. I don't know if I'm gonna get hit by a bus to that print gun. I don't, you know, the whole thing. But especially nowadays, dude, Chuck, think about our lives right now, where we're living.
Yeah.
We don't know about an hour from now what the hell's gonna happen. Yeah. That's the kind of life we're living right now. So I'm just here to fucking enjoy the ride. We have a great record that I'm psyched about. I want to push the shit out of it and make everybody. I think everybody needs to feel good. And I think this fucking record gets me charged. It makes me feel good. And I want to pass that on to my friends. That's the truth.
Hell yeah, man. Well, and two, yeah, like, listen, the journey's not over. Like you said, you got a ton of live shows. You've already played a ton of live shows all over the world. And of course, you've got shows with, you know, bands like Iron Maiden, which is amazing.
Crazy. When we said that word, you know, by that name, Frank, 14-year-old, 13-year-old fanboy just came out just for a second. Said, really? I was like, what the fuck are we? And I just, you know, I got my flight for Greece yesterday. We're touring. It's ridiculous. I have to say this to you guys while you're listening. Frank Bello, 13, 14-year-old fanboy, got his ticket to Greece to go play with Iron Maiden at some stadium.
At the Olympic Stadium.
At the Olympic Stadium in Greece. Isn't that ridiculous? I'm still, again, whatever. I forgot what age I'm. Look,
29.
I'm 29, yeah. So it doesn't matter. Sickly. Truth be told, man, I'm still as excited as hell, man, to get out there. And look, I'm friends with Steve. I'm friends with the Maiden guys. They're just as excited to do it too. So, and to be able to go out and play another song, a new song, and, you know, hopefully get into this thing and ease into it. I just feel very fortunate.
Yeah.
And I'm psyched that we're ready pumped and ready to go.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, you know, like when you hit the road with a band like Iron Maiden, you know, is there a point where you get used to it or it feels normal? But now clearly it
does. You're a fanboy. Fanboy here. You know what I do? I watch, because I make sure I get off the stage and I dress and dry out because Maiden's coming on. Yeah. That's my free ticket. Think about it. I'm friends with Wilder Kruger. We've toured with Aaron so much in our lifetimes, and as a diehard, lifelong fan, I know every song. You know, you do. I'm friends with the Maiden crew, so I'll go onto the side of the soundboard if there's room, you know, because they have everything blocked at this point with the staging and stuff. But then I'll just go to the soundboard or the monitor board and just hang out with the crew and just be a fan and just side stage. That's my side stage fucking fun right there. It's like, that's what it's all about. This is a band that one of my favorite bands in life. They inspired me to do what I do. So yeah, it's all about paying back and just keep getting inspired, you know?
Man, I love it. So you think about it, you know, doing this for 40 plus years and spreading the disease is 41 and Among the Living will cross that four decade mark next year. What runs through your head when you think about that? Like the reality of four decades plus have passed.
Well, you know what it is, Chuck? Your mortality comes into play.
Yeah.
And you realize what a great ride. Like we've been doing a lot of stuff with our history and, you know, people have been talking about our history and the ride here and all that stuff. I just feel really, and it sounds cheesy, but it's not. I'm fortunate. I feel really fortunate to get in this club of metal. I called, you know, this heavy metal club, you know, this movement we all love. This heavy metal thing that we've all grown up with has been very good to me and my family. I made a living on this, doing what I love, and I feel grateful and humbled by. I do. I still do to this point. I can't believe for 40-something years in, I'm going to go on tour with this new record coming up, and I get to do this again. And that's what I get to do. You have to understand, when I go on the stage every night, I have to beat last night. I have to make sure everybody that, because I'm that fan, I'm you in that crowd. I have to make sure that I fucking kill myself 110%. I want to be exhausted when I leave. So you feel the money you spent to see this band is worthwhile. And it still means to me everything, because that's how I am when I see bands. I want everything. And that's what I expect of myself.
Do you think about the word legacy much?
I do.
Yeah.
I do. And I think we have a good legacy, a great legacy. I'll share that.
Yes.
But what does that mean? What does that mean? Legacy is as good and you leave it there, but I want to create new. I think we're like sharks. We have to keep swimming. Yeah, otherwise we die.
Yeah.
I can't see stopping this. It's so much fucking fun that at first note, that first step on the stage, that first roar of the crowd, still we're hearing these huge crowds and people are still reacting to the music that we write. And that's a gift. That is a fucking gift. I'm going to keep riding it. And look, if I can make anybody feel better about their day, that's what this is all about here. That's what, at this point, yeah, you want to make a living, you want to sell records, you want to blah, blah, blah. If I can do something to make somebody else feel good about their fucking life, that's something that I wrote in my fucking basement or living room that can make your day or your life feel a little bit better for a while, I'm going to do it.
Yeah,
that's what it's about. If you're going to come to a show and want to be entertained and forget your problems for a while, I'm fucking putting everything into that show. That's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it's always been.
And that's a what a legacy that is.
That's just,
you know what.
And I think that's where Anthrax stands. Yeah. It's the energy stuff.
That's it, man.
Making you forget about your problems and shit for a little while and taking you away from your daily grind.
Yeah.
I think that's important.
So, you know, talking about legacy and you talking about being a fanboy still to this day.
Yeah.
We got to talk about Back to the Beginning last year. I was at it.
You were there.
Unbelievable. I was with Joe, our friend, editor of Loudwire.
You guys?
We were in the pit.
Were you in the pit?
We were in the pit. Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me about I want to get your experience.
Oh, dude. It was surreal. It was surreal. And
what time did you get there and stuff like that?
I mean, we were there.
From the beginning?
We took the train up. We were in London, went up to Birmingham, or took the bus up to Birmingham. And, you know, we had a few hours before doors open. And so we went down to the bench. We, you know, saw the bowl. Yeah, we soaked everything in. And then we got through, got our passes, got in. And we were surprised that we were able to get into the pit.
Yeah,
but we got into the pit.
Yeah, and it was comfortable, because that was
comfortable, dude. Yeah.
I went to see the bands. I went to see Sabbath and Ozzy in the pit.
Yeah.
Me and Randy, you know, Randy from Lemmy.
Yeah.
a bunch of us went out, and Randy and I, during Ozzy and Black Sabbath set, was staring at each other, crying the lyrics to each other, no, yelling man. The lyrics.
Yeah.
People saw that, they were fucking nuts. We were literally crying, literally crying the lyrics because we knew this was the last time. So we were crying for the last time the lyrics of the Sabbath and Ozzy songs.
Yeah.
It was because we stayed for both. And like, it was a moment.
Yeah.
There is something I'll never forget. But enough for me. What about
the story? Yeah, so we were there. I mean, we set up and we didn't move for 12 hours.
You can't move.
From the very beginning to the end. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, so many different things, but one of the things that I always think about, I keep thinking about, is just how there was no ego on stage. Like, there could have been.
There could
have. And there should have been. So much. You know, yeah. But nobody said, you know, I'm the biggest Ozzy fan or anything like that. You did your thing. You paid tribute and you got off the stage and the next band came.
Yeah.
And it was incredible. Of course, it took me a few days and it still kind of felt surreal.
Yeah.
And then Ozzy passes. And then it's just, you know, it's like unbelievable.
You know, you still, even when you just said that just now, you said Ozzy passes and it still doesn't register really, does it?
Yeah.
It doesn't really that there's no Ozzy on the earth, you know? Because he's in with all of us, I think, because he left such an imprint on all of us,
yeah,
to carry on. But as you said, for that day, that was for me. I mean, we've been on a lot of stages in our lives in this band. I've never come close to anything like that.
No.
I mean, we've done the Big Four, and that's all been great and documented. But that was special only because the camaraderie,
yeah,
and the tribute. Everybody was there for one reason only, yeah, and we all knew it. Look, and backstage, let me tell you, man, I don't know if you guys have heard this before. It was that. It was like a big camp thing. Guys who've been on the road all their lives, who we come up together, like, put it this way, I'll give you a case in point. I'm on the side. I think we're just about to go on for one of those jam things.
The super groups.
The super groups, yeah. And I'm singing on the side, get my bass stuff together. I feel a tap on my back. And all of a sudden, hands out, James Hetfield, who I haven't seen in a couple of years. Yeah. I mean, we came up to, you know, we obviously,
yeah,
Flex and Metallica, we've had a long history. It was just so nice. Frankie, big hug. Fucking, the hug lasted like, it felt like forever because we both wanted to fucking say, we know.
Yeah.
We know, right? It was one of those things. We talked for, I swear to God, 20 minutes to a half an hour. Introducing me to his son, catch up thing. But that's, I want to give you guys the vibe of what it was backstage. There was nothing like egos and stuff. You see Slash, you see Dax, everybody, all the guys, every Duff, everybody's hanging out. It was just one of those great, I wish everybody can get a taste of it. Want people to, so if I can convey what I'm trying to say here, it was a beautiful moment. I hope some backstage stuff, when they do the film,
yeah,
I hope some of the backstage stuff comes through and make you guys see what a vibe it was. Like backstage, I was hanging out with Jake E. Lee and laughing my fucking, who I never met before. We became fast buds.
Man.
Rudy Sarzo, we were just hanging, laughing.
Yeah.
And all for one cause, because we knew we had something to do. And it was just a beautiful thing. It was just beautiful. It was poetic.
Yeah.
It was
good. We've gotten to talk to so many of the artists who were there and everybody says that.
Yeah.
Everything you just said. And so, you know, I know it's not, you know, I know you're not faking, you're not lying, you know, like that is literally what happened and how it was. And what I love too is, you know, I'll hear like that story about James Hetfield, you know, who's a titan and you and then like hugging. And then, you know, I'll hear a story of, oh, and then Ronnie Wood passes by and then everybody kind of melts and becomes a fanboy. And Steven Tyler shows
up. Tyler walked by, you know, still in double.
Or Axel has never met Ozzy before. And that's the first time you met Ozzy. Like,
absolutely nuts.
You know, just incredible.
And look, this is just one of those times in life where you know you're very fortunate. And all I want to do is make people feel it, taste a piece of that.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping the film does that.
Yeah.
And I think we were part of something very, very special for our lives.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy to bring that for Ozzy, Sharon, Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
It was even after the show, it was surreal going into the party, saying hello to everybody. And, you know, I thank Tom Morello for even getting me involved with the whole supergroup thing. It was just one of those amazing, amazing nights. And I'll never forget, days, the whole day.
The whole
because
day.
I was watching as a fan. And it was just everybody brought their A game. And nobody was no attitude about time, about stage time, or how much room. There was nothing. And it just flowed. I've never seen a festival show run like that where nothing went down.
Yeah,
it was incredible. It was incredible. It was one for the ages. The weather held up. Everything was beautiful.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was perfect.
Yeah.
And, of course, all of that. But then you also win a Grammy.
You know, like you and Youngblood and Adam and Nuno for this unbelievable, like, once in a lifetime. Like, it's never going to be repeated. You guys could do that again. It'll never be like that.
I agree with you.
And you won a Grammy for it, man.
Chuck, as I speak to you right now, even when you just said that right now, I still don't believe it. I went to the Grammys. You know, did you hear the story of how I actually made it to the Grammys? I wasn't supposed to be, because I didn't know this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Anthrax had booked 70 tons of metal on the ship. So that's the time when the Grammys were. So Missy Collazo said, you got to go. You got to go. It's a good chance. You might win. You got to be there, all this stuff. So I called my good friend Joey Vera from Armored Saint.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you got to hook me up. You got to do me a favor. So we both went on the boat. I played the first show. I flew out from the Bahamas to LA to go to the Grammys. And that was a big to-do off the boat, because you're not supposed to do that. A lot of paperwork for that. But to get to the Grammys, believe me, was not easy. But even as I say that, even when I went to the Grammys, because I'd been to the Grammys with Anthrax before and nominated and stuff, I felt something, because we did the red carpet and all that stuff. And Dom Youngblood, my friend of Dom, and he's telling me, you got to come. He goes, I think we're going to win. And we might win. I said, and he goes, yeah, Frank, will you be happy with yourself? And he was kind of guilting me into it. Frank, will you be happy if you stay home or on the boat? If you don't, and you're not going to be with us hold up the Grammy? So that really struck a chord. So that's why I really went. And it was such a big payoff, man. And then the whole thing of winning it, I'll give you a quick thing about the Grammys. So you get in, everybody, it's not assigned seats for that portion of the Grammys, right? So I go in, of course, I come off the red carpet late. So I'm running, and I heard, because Adam Wakeman, the keyboard guy, keyboard dude, my friend that played with us, he said, look, dude, we have 10 minutes before our thing is going to be announced. You better get in here. So I run, because I didn't know where the hell I was. So I run from the red carpet. I didn't know where the hell. I was asking, where's the Christie show? Where's the show? I finally get in there. I'm profusely sweating. I look fucking gross. Dude. I have this suit on.
Yeah.
My wife dressed me. I'm pathetic. I have no life. Right? She dressed me. I run into this thing. I'm sweating like this. I ask the lady, look, I think I'm up soon. Can I get a seat? It's packed. Somebody finally gets up. She goes, go sit there. So I'm sitting next to some dude. He's in a rap group. I don't know. I think it's a famous rap group, but I didn't know him. Right? And we're talking. About 5 minutes before, he goes, what are you doing here? I said, I'm nominated for best rap performance. And we're talking, right? And I didn't even hear it. And he goes, dude, you just won.
That's so good.
That's how I found out. I run down and I meet Youngblood, Don, and Sharon, and everybody, Adam, and Nuno. And I was like, it was completely surreal in every way, because I've never had any part. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment. And it's all a tribute to Ozzy. That's
it, man.
For me, it's not about the Grammy for me. It's about the Grammy that I played a tribute to Ozzy. We won a Grammy. Ozzy won the Grammy.
Yeah, for me.
And the world saw it. And the world and Black Sabbath. And it's my thank you to them. Thank you. It's just another thing that they did for me. Not only inspired me, but Ozzy and Black Sabbath gave me a Grammy. We're playing one of the beautiful songs, right? One of the most beautiful songs, obviously. I don't know what to say except thank you. And I'm humbled. And it's one of those things that you can't understand. I still don't understand it and how it happened, but I'm really grateful and thankful. And the week after that, after the Grammys, did you know about this? Not even the Grammys. We had a bunch of stuff after that, but after the Birmingham show, did you find out we did like some kind of signing?
No. We did a Comic Con. Scott and I, Brad, yes. We did a Comic Con.
Okay. So to put it all together here, the last time I saw Ozzy was, you're signing autographs and stuff. They asked us to be part of this with Ozzy, this Comic Con thing. It was great. A lot of people, Ozzy had a line around the building. It was amazing. And I was happy people got to talk to him. He was great.
So we had asked Sharon, we asked our agent, and we asked Sharon if we can come by because we didn't get a chance to say goodbye to Ozzy at the show.
No, man.
Right? So we wanted to say thank you. So, okay, so we'll make some time. So now the time is done. We have to take a break. We go from El Sandy. We go in the room. And Ozzy, Sharon, you know, everybody's there. You know, just
a really beautiful time to get a chance. And we go, there's going to be an in and out thing, right? And at least, thank you, Ozzy, for everything. But Ozzy wanted to talk. Ozzy wanted to hang out and tell stories and laugh. And that's what we did. We talked about when we toured with him, Anthrax toured with him, telling jokes, laughing. Remember, I shit my fucking head. You know, I remember saying there. And just the lines were coming out. And I'm telling you, man, when I saw him there, I felt, when I left, I said, I think we have some more time with Ozzy. I think we're good.
Hmm.
I didn't feel, as I left that place, that he was going to be gone 2 weeks later, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I have that moment with him, and I have a picture of me with him at that moment. And it means so much to me. And you, then you go through, after Ozzy passes, then you go through how much you grew up with him. You grew up with him. He was there from the beginning when I started playing bass. I mean, yeah. When I started getting to metal, Black Sabbath, I mean, think about that. Then the Ozzy Osbourne thing, it's like, that is a once in a lifetime thing. Ozzy Osbourne is a once in a lifetime thing.
Yeah,
and I couldn't be more grateful. And to put a bow on it, thank you. It's the thank you, and I'll never forget him.
Yeah, that's it, man. Well, and you know, like we were talking about the album title for the new Anthrax album, like you never know, right?
You never know, man. And look, and the more we live life, especially these days, and what the hell's going on in this world, you don't know about tomorrow. So who am I to say that it could be the end? It may not be the end. I don't know. But if it is, it's been a great ride.
Yeah,
that's the way I look at it. But I want to do more. I'm fucking hungry, believe me. So we'll see what happens.
Frank, man, thank you so much for hanging. Congrats on this new song. It's for the kids. Congrats on the new album. Everything else happening, man. Listeners, grab everything you need at anthrax.com. And Frank, it's an honor to hang and chat, man.
I know I babbled a lot. And sorry, audience.
I can listen to this all day, man. So
we could just talk at 11. It's kind of cool. But yeah, hey, Ram, I enjoy this. I'm trying to make you guys, the people listening, understand and make you feel it. Make you feel what it is. And I want to be part of it. Because again, I just come from a fan's point of view. I'm lucky enough to do this, but I want to bring you on the journey. I want to bring you along and be part of it with me. I think it's really important. As we go on, you know.
That's right. As you continue.
As you continue, exactly. But thanks, Chuck, very much.
That wraps up this episode of Loudwire Nights on Demand. Stay caught up with everything happening in the world of rock and metal on the Loudwire app and at loudwire.com.